as long as they do this series. And it's going to be on three key epistles that are all linked together. And that's Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And they are so important because their emphasis is on the church, which is Christ's body, as he being the head. So the emphasis in Ephesians is the body. The main theme is the body in the relationship to the head. So remember that. In Ephesians, it's the body and its relationship to the head. In Colossians, the emphasis is the head in the relationship to the body. And in Philippians, it's the relationship of the body to each other. So all those three things are a key. And since Bob sat down, I have to tell a little story, so it'll go to the people around. I was going to tell it before I started. But I had a dream the other night, and I was so sad in the dream because I came here, and they said, "You realize Bob and his family are not coming here anymore." And in the dream, I said, "Oh, why?" And they said, "Well, we just don't know, but they're just not going to come here anymore. So I'm so glad to see you." So it was only a dream. Good. But it seemed so real. Dreams seemed so real, and I was so sad. So good to see everybody. So anyways, we're going to emphasize these three epistles in this study of the importance because they really emphasize the church with his body. And why is that so important? Because if you take Paul's epistles out of the Word of God, you will not see that term, the church, which is Christ's body, where Christ is the head. People want to make it one church, and they started at Pentecost, and the Peter preached, and John and Christ, and they all preached the same gospel. But if you take Paul's message out, and you will not have the church, which is Christ's body. You have a church, which is just a called out group, but it's the kingdom church that we know will be set up on earth, that Peter talks about, and James talks about, and John talks about it. So in light of that, what I'd like to do is to make sure that we see in this beginning of this study how important something is that you may not think about, and that's that simple salutation. Now, if I ask the question and see if I can get an answer, what would you give a simple definition of what a salutation is? Does anybody want to give it? A what? Oh, that's perfect. It's simply a greeting. And years ago when they wrote letters, it might say, you might start out, "Dear so-and-so," or something. But it can also be verbal. That's what a lot of people don't realize. A salutation can be, if you meet somebody and say, "Good morning," that's a salutation. "Hello." But in a letter, usually it would be, "Dear so-and-so," and something. So that's what a salutation is. So Paul always starts his epistles with a salutation, with a greeting there to this church. And what is so important about it, and I wrote it down, I was going to write this on the board, a salutation should be chosen based on the context, this is why this is important, and relationship with the recipient. The recipient is the church he's writing to, whether it's to the Colossians or the Philippians or the Romans, whoever he might be writing to. So I'm going to repeat that again. A salutation should be chosen based on the context and relationship with the recipient. So this is going to be important as you see how different some of the salutations are when Paul talks to different churches. And we're also going to see the difference in the salutation that James writes to and that Peter writes to, and we'll see the contrast in that. So in Colossians, look at the first verse. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brothers, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ." So that's who he's talking to. He's talking to the saints and to the faithful brethren in Christ. And then he gives those at Colossae. So he starts out very clearly, and why this is also important, because I don't like to do it too much, but it can be emphasized one time. In the Greek, there's no indefinite article. And is an indefinite article. So truly, in the original, it would be Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, or Paul, Jesus Christ's apostle. And why is this important? Because Paul is not part of the 12. Paul's putting the emphasis there. He's not part of it. He's separate and distinct from the 12, which most people in most churches do not see. They put him as just an apostle, an indefinite article. But he is the apostle of the Gentiles, as we know. That he is the only apostle to the Gentiles. Peter and him are apostles very clearly to the circumcision. And if the circumcision accepted Christ, then they would have gone to the nations. And I have said in the past, nations, Gentiles, heathens, it's all the same word. So anytime you see those three, they're all the same. So when Paul says, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, he's an apostle to all the nations. Or he's an apostle to all the heathen. So very clearly there, and notice what he says in that salutation. He's an apostle how? By what? By the will of God. And that's so important. He's emphasizing something. It's not by man. I didn't go to Peter and the 12 or anybody else. I am an apostle by the will of God. And now the other emphasis that I want to talk about here is why he includes Timothy here. Paul wrote 13 epistles. In 6 of the epistles, which is almost 50%, he includes Timothy. Because he always calls Timothy a son in the faith. Here he calls him his brother. But lots of times he calls him his son in the faith. So very important, he uses it, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother. So Timothy is not an apostle. So he's not included, he's just as his brother there. And he's writing to the saints. Why is this important, and why is the emphasis there compared to the emphasis that's different? Go to Philippians chapter 1, and let's look at that salutation. And I apologize to Rhonda if I go too far, so I had to be careful. Notice the difference, and I'm going to ask you the question, why do you think that's different? Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And we know simply what the bishops and deacons are from Timothy. One is a teacher, one is not, but the other they have two different offices. But why do you think the difference there? He doesn't call himself an apostle, does he? And he includes both of them together, correct? As what? As servants of Christ. And the emphasis is what I just said to you, the difference in the three places. What did I say the emphasis of Philippians is on? It's the relationship of the brethren to each other. In Colossians, the theme is Christ as the head of the church, which is his body. In Ephesians, it's the body in relationship to Christ as the head. But here, the relationship is about how the brethren teach each other. So beautifully, the Paul and his apostles doesn't talk about him as apostle. He talks about he and Timothy as being together as both what? Servants of Jesus Christ. Because when Paul writes this epistle to the Philippians, what do you remember? There's a problem there. And what was the problem there? Something had disrupted the unity that they should have a church, which Paul would emphasize to us should not ever happen in our church. Anybody remember about the two ladies? They were having the two ladies seemed to have, I'm sorry if the ladies feel upset with it, seemed to have split the church. And how do we know this? All we have to do is go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1, and he mentions these two ladies. Let's look at that in verse 1 and 2. Therefore, my brother, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, I love what he says about the believers, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be what? So there was a quarrel going on in the church. So how beautifully Paul writes his epistle, we know it's directly what Christ gave him, but he says the unity that Timothy and him have as servants of Christ is what I want the church to have to bring you back to unity. It's so beautiful. The Word of God is absolutely, especially in our King James, perfect. No matter whatever it tells you, it's absolutely perfect. We can count on it. We can believe in it. Every single word of what the Word of God says. So when you look at salutations, they are very, very important. And sometimes we just sort of brush them off. But you see the difference. Timothy and I are servants of Christ together. I want that for you. There's a problem in the church, and this split has to be brought back together. And Euodias and Syntyche, he wants them to have the same mind as he wants all of us to have. So it's a lesson to us. He wants us in this church to also have the same mind in Christ. Not to think of ourselves, ever. But why? Because that's why Paul, go to Philippians chapter 2, notice what he emphasizes to them and what is should be important to us in this church when we're looking at each other. Verse 1 of chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. How? Here's the result clause, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And I love the next verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others what? That's hard to do, isn't it? It really is. Because it's so easy to feel sorry for yourself. Boy, the way I get treated. I mean, they greet other people and this great love. And then and when I come in and they just, hi, okay. There's that pity that we put upon ourselves. Rather than saying, it doesn't matter. I still want to esteem the other as better. So it can only be done if you think of what you're in Christ. If it's going to be in us, we're naturally selfish. We naturally think of ourselves. I'm sorry, it's just how it is. But if we can think of ourselves in Christ always when we deal with others and realize that who also had that same characteristic, Christ did. He was made lower than the angels, what, for the tasting of death. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not right to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So these salutations are as important as anything else. They're God's word. And when we look at these things, sometimes we just pass them by, but they are absolutely essential. So go back to Colossians now. So in there in Colossians, he's emphasizing now himself as the apostle of the Gentiles. It's not Timothy and I no longer as servants of Christ to the beloved so they can see how they got. Now he's going to put his position, then I am the apostle. Timothy is my brethren, but he's not an apostle. You have the 12 apostles, and then you have Christ as the apostle to the Gentiles, singularly. Okay? So now you can see in that thing, but let's go to another epistle. Now in Ephesians, go back to that because we're emphasizing 3, he emphasizes the exact same thing. So the emphasis in Ephesians and Colossians is always Christ as the head and you and I as the body, and that relationship we have simply because we put our faith in the completed work of Christ. He became our Savior and we became one with Christ. If we can understand that exchange that took place, Christ didn't die only for us, Christ died as us. The wages of sin is death, and he paid that debt. But then when we accept Christ as our Savior, the opposite wonderful thing happened. We become one with Christ, and that's also what happened at Calvary. See, Calvary has to be the meeting point, always. It's the only meeting point that you can meet Christ at. It has to be at Calvary. So always think of that. What Christ did, he not only died for us, but as us, but then when we accept Christ in that finished work at Calvary and his shed blood that taketh away all sin and puts us in Christ, we become one with Christ. So that's the idea. We'll see later why he calls them saints. But notice Ephesians, it's almost the exact same thing that he says in Colossians. Let's look at it. Paul, here it is, an apostle of Jesus Christ, how? Again, by the will of God, to the saints, which are at Ephesians, and to the faithful. Exactly the same, isn't it? Because Ephesians and Colossians are like sister epistles. What you find in one, you're going to find in the other. But Philippians sometimes can be a little different because the emphasis is on the brethren and the relationship that we are to have for each other. So if there's a problem in this church with two people, the epistle they should go to is Philippians and find out they're supposed to esteem each other as better than themselves. And that would change any problem that you have. And that's what he was saying to those two ladies. But in Ephesians and Colossians, it's the head and its body. That is the total basic theme of both of those. The theme in Philippians is the relationship of the brethren to each other. Now, let's go to another epistle to see how he's even going to emphasize more than he does in Colossians and more than he does in Ephesians of his position and why his position is so different than the 12. What epistle do you think that may be? There's nothing wrong with giving the wrong answer because I'm the teacher, so I'm the only one. I'm not saying I'm right, but it's the way I look at it. Good one, but not right, but that's okay. There's one that he emphasized something where there's going to be a council that he's going to go to with the 12. Ooh, I thought that would be the key. Thank you, David. Okay. So let's look at Galatians and look at that salutation. Now Paul even goes further to emphasize his position. Because we know what happens in Galatians 2, which is the recount of Acts 15, of that council he's going to, that he sent up to the 12 by revelation. He didn't go up his own. God sent him. Christ sent him up by revelation. That's how important that council meeting is going to be with the 12 that we know is in Galatians 2 and in Acts 15. So now look at this emphasis in Galatians. Paul, an apostle, and now notice how he even puts the emphasis, it's not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So very clearly now, he even goes further than I'm apostle by the will of God. He's emphasizing, I did not get it from any man. I did not go to Peter and the 12. I got my revelation directly from Jesus Christ, and it was one that was hidden God since before the foundation of the world that Peter and the 12 knew nothing about. Only Paul, and it was to Paul and revealed to Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the mystery. Opposite of the prophecy program that Peter was the leader of the 12. Because Peter says very clearly in the Acts, he says, everything I've told you, all the prophets have told you from Samuel forward. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm just fulfilling now what the prophet said. But Paul says everything that I'm giving you has been hidden God since before the foundation of the world, not known to anybody until Christ revealed it to Paul, who then revealed it to you and I. And that's why this church stands here alone in probably every, almost every church that we have, because they do not see that. So they start the church at Pentecost. They start the church with Peter. So very clearly, notice the importance. But now he goes even further. He's not only going to say it in verse 1, but notice in verse 11 and 12, he's really going to emphasize his position. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not what? But now he goes further. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. So that means he didn't go to Peter. But by what? The revelation gen. If you have a revelation of anything, it has to be something that's new. It's not a revelation, that's something new. So for those people to not see that and think that he had the same message, I had somebody on the radio, on my Sirius radio. I won't even say the group, but Bob used to belong to it, but I won't. But anyways, and I can't believe how he read Galatians 2, and he said, Galatians 2 is all about Paul going up, and that Peter would recognize him as part of them. That's what that is all about. That he had to get acknowledgement from Peter about his ministry. I have no idea how you can read, and we're going to do it, Galatians 2 and get that interpretation. So let's let God's word speak and see that what really happened in Galatians 2. So in Galatians 2, it says it's 14 years later. Remember, 14 years before that, so this would be 17 years after Pentecost, three years after Pentecost, he went up and saw Peter and James and few of the apostles. Now he's going up 14 years later, and he's going up by revelation. Look at verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them what? Which what? But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now, if it's the same gospel, that doesn't make sense to me. Why would he have to go up and tell Peter, I'm doing exactly what you did, Peter? But he says, he emphasized something which I preach among the Gentiles. Let's continue. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be said. That's why he took Titus and not Timothy. Because remember, Timothy was circumcised because Paul didn't have the total revelation. Paul also baptized. What are baptized in the book of Acts before he atoned. He also circumcised Timothy at that time, not having. But this was to emphasize that no Gentile, because they were saying Gentiles had to be circumcised still. Let's continue. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privately to spy out our liberty, that's what you and I have, which we have in Christ Jesus, that it might bring us into bondage, in whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. I like that. He said, I'm not a subjection to anybody here. So let's continue. That the truth of the gospel, why, might continue with you. Now, notice how he puts them down. It's amazing to me how somebody could get that interpretation. But of these who seem to be somewhat, I love that. Whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. Why would somebody say Paul had to go up and get acknowledgement from Peter that his ministry, when he says very clearly, I think that's a put down to me, isn't it? If you go to somebody and say, those, but of those who seem to be somewhat, whoever they were, make it no matter to me, but God accepted them that person. For they who seem to be somewhat, look at this in conference, what's he say at the last four words? But yet Paul had to get acknowledgement from Peter to continue his ministry. He says, but now notice the next verse. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcised was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, we know who that is, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, Cephas, and that's also important. because they're always emphasizing Matthew 16, that word Peter means rock, and that they're building their church upon Peter. No church can be built upon man. It's all built on Christ. But does this seem like another place? He doesn't call him Peter, does he? Yeah, is that, to me, that's another downward step. He doesn't even give him that title. Surely Christ would have said, do you know why that name is so important, Peter? And Paul says, calls him Cephas. And John, who seemed to be pillars, I love that, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, Gentiles, nations, and they to the circumcision. They could not fulfill Matthew's so-called Great Commission that they're sent because why? There's a simple reason that they never went to the nations, because Peter and the 12 could not go to the nations until Israel, as the favored nations, accepted Christ as Messiah. And that will happen at Christ's second coming, when Israel becomes a kingdom of priests. And then they will go to the Gentile nations with that message of Christ as Messiah. So very clearly, Israel had to accept Christ as Messiah before they could fulfill the so-called Great Commission that our fundamentalist brothers still want to put us under. Sorry to say that. It's not a Great Commission because there's a greater commission that we know was given to the Apostle Paul. But I have no idea how somebody can read that and say Paul had to go up there to get acknowledgement from Peter that Paul was doing the right thing. There's nothing there. It's the opposite. They gave them the right hand of fellowship that we, and I, Paul, as apostle, the only apostle of the Gentiles, which we know from Romans 11:13, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. I'm speaking to you Gentiles. That's all important. Paul never emphasizes himself, but he does always emphasize his office. I magnify my office. This is where Christ put me. I am the apostle of the Gentiles. So very clearly here, it's very important to see every one of those salutations are very important. And we can see in Ephesians and Colossians, which we're going to emphasize, the emphasis is, I am the apostle of Jesus Christ for this dispensation, for our time. And I have the message. And it's all about Christ as the head and his relationship to the body. But in Philippians, it's when we want to read that epistle, it's the relationship of us to each other. So therefore, how beautifully Paul doesn't call and the emphasis on him as apostle, the emphasis on he and Timothy together as servants of Christ. Do you see how beautiful the Word of God is? These salutations, sometimes we just gross over and we read them, but they are just as important as any because they emphasize something. And in Galatians, the emphasis even goes further. I didn't receive this as man. It's not a man. I received it directly by Jesus Christ. I certify to you, brethren, I got it directly from Jesus Christ. So when we look at those salutations, don't anymore just read over them when you're studying your Bible. Read them with purpose because they all have a purpose. Now, why did I say that's important? Go to James and let's look at James' salutation. How clear this seven is. So I can look at James and study it, and you and I can study it, and we can learn a lot from it. But all I have to do is go to the first verse and know it's not written to me, can I? All I have to do is go to one salutation. Let's look at it. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Gentiles which are... Oh, did I read that wrong? Did I make a mistake? Thank you, Bob. Okay. To the 12 tribes... What tribe do you belong to? I don't belong to any of the 12 tribes, okay? So very clearly, we know who he's writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad greeting. Now, when Israel is scattered, she's telling me I have 5 minutes. I lost my train of thought. Okay. She's like the producer on the TV show. Okay. Anyway, scattered. I got it back. Okay. So anytime Israel is out of the land, they are scattered. Daniel, when they went into Babylon, knew that he could not make that confession till they fulfilled that 70 years. Because of that time, that for 490 years, they failed to every 7 years rest the land. God said, now you'll rest it for 70 years. He could not have made that confession to get them back in the land until that was over. That's the punishment. So anytime Israel is scattered out of the land, he's not dealing with Israel today, then they're being punished by God and not in the land. So now we know who that's right, but go to Peter. Now, he doesn't say the exact same thing, but we can put the two together, James and Peter, and know exactly who Peter is also writing to. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the what? Stranger scattered. So if I'm a simple-minded person. If the 12 tribes are scattered and the strangers are scattered, to me, the 12 tribes and the strangers are the same people, aren't they? They're both scattered. Two things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So very clearly, in that salutation, we can read those, but they're not written to us because they're written to the 12 tribes. They're written to those who are scattered, which Israel was in that position because of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and they were scattered. So let's go back to Colossians. And I didn't get as far as I wanted because then the emphasis next week will be on the second part of that. And the second part of that salutation is verse 2. So we will continue next week with that. Let's look at it real quickly to give you a little preview. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Two things. To the saint and faithful brethren, to the saints. Now, there's a church out there, and Bob knows it, that maybe 100 years after someone dies, they will canonize them and make them a saint. There's nothing in the Word of God about canonizing anybody to be a saint. And it's always about miracles and their good works and their piety and their martyrism or whatever. There's nothing in it. A saint is simply someone who has accepted Christ as their Savior and became one with Christ, and you become a saint. It's not also a title. They make it a title. St. Peter, St. Paul, and even in many Protestant churches. It's a position that you and I have. It's never a title. So that's the problem they have. But it says to the saints and faithful brethren. Now, there's two ways we can look at that faithful brethren. We can look at it as objective or subjective. Now, what do I mean by that? And I'm not sure which way Paul means it. I'm going to be truthful with you. Maybe somebody smarter than me like Dave or Bob can tell you. But when I look at this, if it's objective, they're faithful because where they're putting their faith. That's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's objective faith. But it also could be that they're faithful subjectively because they are now very trustworthy people. Paul can put trust in them as saints who are living the way they should be living. I'm not sure, I'll be truthful, whether Paul's looking at it objectively, they're faithful because of the objective faith they have in Christ, or subjectively because of they're faithful to each other. You'll have to decide. I don't know. I just know it says faithful brethren. But you notice there's two things which I love. They're in Christ and which are at Colossae. Why would I say that's important? Because in Christ is their spiritual position that they have at that time in the heavens, Colossae is simply their physical place where they live. And that's not really that important. But Paul tells where they are. So which would be more important, brethren in Christ or at Colossae? Brethren in Christ, because that's you and I's position right now. We're already seated in the heavens, according to Ephesians. We already have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But so there's a spiritual place. We're in Christ. There's a physical place, he writes to him. That's where you and I exist. If somebody say, wherever our home is, in Roaring Spring or Johnstown or whatever. God's country, that's Johnstown, okay? But anyway, did that go over somebody? All right. Anyways, we'll continue. And the thing is, grace and peace. And emphasize this as I close. What is the difference? What is the opposite of grace and peace? Well, the opposite of peace would be war. The opposite of grace would be judgment. So what should have come when they rejected Jesus Christ? And that's what we'll deal with. Judgment and war should have come, according to Revelation 15, Psalms 110, Psalms 2. That's what we'll emphasize next week. But instead, the person he should have judged in Paul, he saved in grace. And we'll emphasize that next week. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your wonderful word. And help us to see that every single word of God is so precious and so important. That even in the salutations, we are to study to see how there's an emphasis of each one to know who the person is writing to and what is it all about. We just thank you and praise you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.